I'm Eitan, and welcome to The Hub, a brand new podcast on the Night 320 Player. This is something that we've wanted to do for a while, so delighted to finally get the first episode together. The point of these podcasts will be to take a little bit more of a data-driven approach to football. We're going to try and get into the tactical weeds of the game. Over time, we'll do team-specific podcasts, recruitment-specific podcasts, and match-specific podcasts. And every week or every episode that we do, the main man in the hot seat is going to be Bailey, who has the excellent Sky Blue Times Twitter account. So, morning, Bailey.
Morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm doing really well.
You ready for this?
Yeah, I think equally nervous as I am excited, but should be good to get into.
No need to be nervous. And look, what we're going to do is we're going to have different people joining Bailey for each episode to kind of try and keep it fresh. For today's ep, I'm delighted we've got Jason, aka Blue City Brain. Morning, Jason.
Oh, evening for me, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say good evening, Jason.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever you need to put in for the Aussies in here. But yeah, I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm really good. You know what? I can hear in both your voices. I can hear that City won 4-0 last night. I feel there's a spring in everybody's step. Did you enjoy the game last night, Bailey?
Yeah, I think anything with De Zerbi versus Pep is always going to be quite exciting, really, isn't it?
Definitely. Jason, what about you?
Yeah, well, for me, it was this morning, so I'm still buzzing.
Oh, that's right. Same day, of course.
Same day.
Yeah. Well, look, what we're going to do with this first episode, actually, is we're going to take a little bit of a tactical and a more of a data-driven approach to the game last night, because, like you said, Bailey, I think that Guardiola versus De Zerbi is always an interesting tactical battle. And I think from the moment that the team lineups dropped last night, it felt like it was going to be very much a little bit of a tactical chess game. So what we're going to try and do over the next 45 minutes to an hour is just break that down. So Bailey, I'm going to kick off with you. Talk me through City's lineup and what your first impressions were when you saw the team sheet come out.
Yeah, so if we go from the start, we've got Edison in there. We've got his weapon in terms of long passing in behind. And in the back line, it's when you have Walker and Guardiola, your instant thought is he going to play this high fullback setup? In the middle, no Stones, no Diaz. So if anybody's going to be dropping in, it's going to be Akanji. And then Kovacic coming into midfield, which we've seen always whenever City have played a team that have pressed them high. Kovacic has generally been picked in that midfield. And then out on the wings, we've got no Grealish, got no Doku, but we've got Foden and Bernardo Silva coming inside. So that kind of tells you exactly what the game's going to pan out for City.
Jason, talk me through Brighton's lineup.
Brighton, well, to be honest, as soon as I seen it, I said, yeah, we should be winning this game because of the amount of injuries they had. So I think they had 5 or 6 regular starters out. It's kind of been the story of the season for them, really, with how many injuries they've had all season. So for me, when I seen that lineup, I said, I'm a lot more confident because I was a bit nervous going into this. But once I seen the lineup drop, I said, I'm a lot confident. But knowing how De Zerbi setups, I still felt like they were going to cause us issues.
Yeah, I do. I think the thing that has always struck me about playing De Zerbi's Brighton and actually just watching De Zerbi's Brighton is it obviously matters what players they have available and the quality of the players, because if you look at what they achieved last season, I think most of it was built around Enzo, Caicedo, and then on the left-hand side, Mitoma and Estupiñán. And those four players, for various reasons, have simply not been available to Brighton this season. And so it has been a little bit more of a struggle for them. But I guess my point is that I just find that their kind of tactical flexibility and fluidity makes them dangerous regardless of the players that are available. So kind of taking that into account, Bailey, first 10 minutes of the game, For me, as a kind of layman, it looked a little bit like City were trying to figure out what Brighton's press was. Is that a fair assessment from me? And how do you think City dealt with just trying to figure out what Brighton's press is?
Yeah, so I'd agree exactly the same, that it was kind of a bit like a chess match where you see the two teams trying to work out what the moves are. Obviously, we've gone through the lineup and talked about the tools City have on how they can approach that situation. But those first 10 minutes, you saw Rodri and Kovacic in midfield getting picked up by the Brighton players. Whenever the ball went into them, they would get pressed. But Akanji and Aki were allowed to have the ball. And City didn't really kind of take any risks. They weren't looking to force it into De Bruyne or Foden at any point. They were just trying to work out what Brighton's approach was.
Is that a kind of normal trait for Guardiola's City team when they come up against sort of tactically very well-coached teams? Is there always an element of wait and see what the opposition does and then figure it out?
Yes, but the time in which they figure it out, I think, would be fair to say for De Zerbi would take a little bit longer because okay. I'm sure Pep would let them know in advance. These are all the different ideas of how I can approach this game and how I think De Zerbi will, but there's still a lot more of a kind of surprise in mind when it comes to playing De Zerbi. So if we take it to a Luton, for example, it's fairly obvious from the way they played how they're going to approach that game. Within the first couple minutes, City should know straight away this fits what we thought was going to happen. Whereas with De Zerbi, you know, you've got to take your time and be patient.
How did City solve? So were Brighton pressing man to man?
Not fully. So you would, so definitely at the back they would. So if they would go long, you had Brighton push up quite high on man to man, but they let Ake and Akanji have the ball, but they wouldn't let Rodri and Kovacic have it in the midfield. So in order to get around that, you would see City push the fullbacks out wide, so they'd have the option to play the balls up towards Walker and towards Guardiola. And you also saw Rodri step back into the back line quite a fair bit. So he would take the position of Akanji would do to get on the ball. And then you'd also see a few times Kovacic would make the run across the midfield so they could pass over a Brighton player into him.
Yeah, what I found really interesting,
go on, Jason.
Was how deliberate we were with Edison. Using Edison as like a de facto quarterback, essentially, to dictate how we want to play. And you could see he was very, very like playing it delicate. It actually reminded me how we started the game against Madrid. Just in the Madrid game, it kind of backfired because we lacked that little bit of intensity to start the game. But we kind of put a similar, you know, figure out what the tactic and what the press is going to be from Brighton, and then let Edison kind of essentially become that quarterback. And he kind of thrives in this role because he can go long, he can go sideways, he can put pinpoint passes, and we'll talk about the goals later. But I feel like that's what we did, and then that's how we set up generally to match those tactics from De Zerbi.
So I noticed that the two centre-backs were really spread very wide, and there was that massive gap in the middle that Rodri and Kovacic would drop into. Is that something that was there from the start of the game, or was that a little bit a reaction to what Brighton were doing?
Reaction to what they were doing, I would say. So like Jason was saying with Edison, they would use him because he's just so calm on the ball to hit it back to him and assess the options. And then as we moved out of the first 10 minutes and into the rest of the first half, you would see Rodri, like you said, with Kovacic drop into that space. And then the centre-backs would spread in order to open up that space and open up the passing angles.
And where are Phil? And so where are Bernardo, Phil and Kev in all of this?
The interesting part was they were everywhere. But I'll let Bailey go into a bit more.
Yeah, so Bernardo was much more involved in the first phase, like dropping in alongside Rodri and Kovacic in the midfield. So he would be more involved on that front. And then both Foden and De Bruyne would move across the midfield, trying to find passes in the half space. De Bruyne did point this out after the game, where he's just looking for somewhere where he can get an extra half a second on the ball to then make the pass to progress the play. Feel exactly the same. Started on the left wing, but Guardiola provides the width, and then he can come all the way across, all the way to the right-hand side.
I find it quite interesting that obviously we've had this sort of running conversation about Foden and De Bruyne and whether they can play in the same team together? And so for me, or not so much in the same team, but can they both play centrally together? And that was the thing that really jumped out at me from pretty early on was the fact that there was this incredible fluidity to the way that both of them played. And there was almost like a kind of, they were both playing as kind of like floating number 10s is the way that I would describe it. Now, obviously Grealish and Doku have to be on the bench were on the bench last night. And that's kind of the way we set up. What are the pros and the cons of basically yarding the idea of wingers and going, you know what, we'll play with two number 10s behind somebody like Alvarez?
So the first thing I would point out when people are talking about Foden and De Bruyne playing in the middle is that it's a non-negotiable for Guardiola to have width provided by some sort of player. So in order for them to play in the middle and then not have the wingers, the fullbacks had to provide that width. So going into any sort of setup, there's no kind of compromise where Guardiola will play these players in the middle and also not have the width. That makes sense?
Yes.
And then when it comes to playing in the middle, I think it's kind of an illusion that the very best players cannot work it out themselves. We've seen this with Germany recently, where you had Kimmich, Gundogan, Musiala, Wirtz, Kroos, all in the same midfield, and it's down to the coach to make it work and find the right plan. So when it comes to De Bruyne and Foden, it's down to Guardiola to find the right system that works out for them.
And if you look at the game last night, do you think there were any weaknesses to having the two fullbacks so high and wide and effectively overloading the middle in the way that we did?
So what I would say is, if you go back to the Madrid game and you look at our 1v1 matchups there compared to what we had today last night, you don't have the threat 1v1 like you did in those sort of games. So it definitely can work, but it depends on what are you going up against in the opposition. So are you confident Ake can deal with the players that Brighton would have on the wings compared to if he has to deal with Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo?
Okay.
I feel like Pep's selection played into that as well. So him playing Ake Akanji instead of Diaz, for example, he basically had a lot of speed and athleticism in the back line to begin with to help deal with our wingers being so up high. And then you have Rodri, Kovacic and Bernardo, you know, in the middle. Essentially, they're all workers in working midfield. So that kind of takes away maybe from any weakness that a Kevin De Bruyne and a Foden 2-10s might have. That's how I felt with that lineup. That's why I think Diaz didn't start this game.
Okay. So you think it was tactical that Diaz didn't start?
Yep.
How did City press?
I'd say pretty so- well.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Do you want some stats? I'll give you some stats on some of our pressing, right? So overall this season, when you look at like the Gengen press efficiencies and the passing pressing that we do, generally we've ranked 5th to 9th this season. In previous seasons we've been a lot better, and I have my analysis from that would be that when we play with Haaland, we don't press as high and as aggressive, just to because we play kind of a bit of a different play style when Haaland's in the team. But when you put Alvarez up front, because he's such a high energy guy and can press really, really well, we kind of utilize more of that pressing tactic that we've seen against Brighton. And you could see from every time Brighton had the ball, we basically pinned them back into their box. They couldn't get it out, you know. And I'm sure Bailey would touch on this, but if you look at the pass maps, they're stuck in their box. They couldn't get it out there because of how good our press was. I haven't looked at the exact stats for the game in terms of what it ranks overall in the season, but I'd suggest this is probably one of our best pressing games all season.
Now, I'm loath to ask this question, but I guess I've got to ask it because you've just said that. Do you think that is that purely a Haaland thing though? Because I mean, personally, I agree. Like from the eye test point of view, the pressing was insanely good last night. But to me, it just felt more like everybody had more intensity rather than, oh, well, Erling's not there, and so with Alvarez in there, it's easier to press really high.
It's part of the genius of Pep Guardiola, right? So he adjusts his system every time he faces a different opponent. And he knows, facing a De Zerbi team, that if he presses them up high, we have the potential to win the ball up high because of the way they want to play out from the back. So he'll adjust his not only his tactics, but he'll adjust his the way we press every game as well. And a game like this, it's perfect the way. And especially with the lineup that we had, it worked perfectly. And you know, I think we got two goals basically from how well we pressed.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.